Hey, ladies and gentlemen, it's Mean Green Nation Podcast, midweek edition, and we called up a fellow Conference USA member fan, and we wanted to talk to him. So here's Shane Marinelli, and we're going to talk about FAU, that little team out in Florida. Okay, so let's get right into some FAU talk, and we have Shane. You might remember him from last time, the last time we had him on the podcast. So welcome back, Shane. So tell me exactly how FAU is going to lose this game this weekend.
You know, we've had the last two schools, you know, Old Dominion, Middle Tennessee. I've heard a week of just how good their D-line is or how much they're improved. And, you know, Middle Tennessee fans talking about how, you know, they were able to shut down Minnesota and Syracuse up-tempo. You know, they've seen this before. And then the best running back in the conference, you know, just burns him up for four TDs or a couple hundred yards. And, you know, I expect that to happen again. You know, these two backs and Greg Buddy Howe, who's more of our power back, just, you know, they're just not your typical good G5 running backs. Both are just extremely talented, especially Motor, who hopefully by the end of the year can start getting some national attention the way kind of Pumphreys was at San Diego State the last couple of years. He has that type of talent. What a lot of people don't give credit to is just the O-line. I think I mentioned this on the podcast last time. FAU's O-line, I think they had a different starter, different starting five for all for every game last year. This year they've had the same starting five every game, and they have an entire center through left side just has a ton of starts, and they are just kind of physically manhandling people. So, you know, the run game's excellent. We really haven't needed to pass the ball. You know, we've played a couple quarterbacks this year. They've settled into Driscoll, who's, you know, more of a runner. You know, again, that is the brother of the Driscoll that played at La Tech.
Yeah.
So it's just been up-tempo. I mean, they have receivers there, which I do think they'll need to use them this week to win. North Texas is going to score a little bit more, but, you know, I don't expect, you know, anyone to stop our running game.
So, I mean, I think that all makes sense. And coming into this week, I was a little concerned about FAU, and I will say that I hadn't really followed them, you guys, too closely. I mean, you know, I watched the opening game. I had Lane Kiffin interest, and Aldo, I think you did also. But you've been watching a little bit more, Aldo, than I have. And I would say that, like, one, ODU is not good, and then two, Middle Tennessee is maybe not as good as they think they are. I think Middle Tennessee maybe hypes himself up. But I rank Middle Tennessee like 10th in a conference right now. That aside, I am a little concerned about FAU's running attack. I think everybody should be. And I think I heard you guys talking on your podcast today about UAB. I think you guys are like, you play a little bit like UAB right now. Like UAB wants to run the ball, and they did so successfully. And I think with the confidence in North Texas, amongst North Texas fans, it comes from the fact that North Texas was able to slow down UAB for the most part, except for two long drives, the first quarter, second quarter, fourth quarter. And, you know, the big concern is the pass game. Now, I mean, I you know, like I said, I totally understand your confidence after hearing two fan bases tell you, hey, it's not going to happen. We're going to shut you down. And then, you know, 400 yards, 253 yards, whatever it was, against Middle Tennessee. I mean, what is – you mentioned the offensive line. You mentioned the running backs. I mean, what changed? Because it was like 40 yards against Navy, right, rushing attack. And then all of a sudden, 453 yards against Old Dominion. Is it just that Old Dominion sucks? Or is it – I mean, is it something changed in the offense or what?
I believe I mentioned this last time in the podcast. FAU added – I think the official count was like 36 players before fall camp.
Yeah.
You know, between the freshmen and JUCOs, and a lot of guys are hurt in the spring. Going into the Navy game, even Lane was kind of hinting. If you go back and look at his quotes, like, he wasn't very confident. And then, you know, he went played Wisconsin. And the team just wasn't ready to play at that point. They didn't have a groove. Everything was still new. It was almost like a team that, you know, they were still kind of in training camp mode 2 weeks into the season. And they've gotten a lot better every week. They've really discovered, you know, what they're good at and kind of settled into their defense rotations, which we'll talk more about the defense. So, you know, just that improvement. And just, you know, coming from FAU fans, you know, we haven't seen us just take care of bad teams like you're supposed to. Yeah, right. Dominion's bad, but we beat them by 5 touchdowns. Could have even been more. There's a couple of dropped interceptions. You know, Middle Tennessee is a team that's plagued us, and we beat them by 18 points.
Yeah.
So it's not like these were close games where you're beating bad teams, you know. You know, I can kind of say the same. You know, UTSA had all this hype, and I know that's a rivalry game, but, you know, I was looking at them the other day, and I said, well, okay, that Baylor win isn't very good. You know, Texas State win. Texas State's one of the worst teams. So, you know, is UTSA as good as we thought?
Before you continue on with UTSA bashing, because I think that's our favorite subject. Yeah, I think coming into it, Aldo and I were both saying, we were both like whispering out loud, like, UTSA is not very good, man. They haven't played nobody. And we got a lot of, you know, a lot of criticism there. Like, no, UTSA is real good because look how we barely beat Baylor. And look how we dominated a Texas State team in the fourth quarter, but not throughout the game. So, I mean, I understand your point there. I think there is talent. I think that's the difference between, say, you know, any of these other terrible teams, like Bethune-Cookman or something like that, and like a UTSA, is that UTSA is good. I mean, Aldo and I have seen the North Texas play UTSA, you know, over the last few years. So we kind of see them. But in the last 2 years specifically, Marcus Davenport is a beast, and you just need to watch him throughout the game, just throw people aside and get to the quarterback easily to understand how good the defensive line is. I think Southern Miss, Aldo, I mean, you agree here, Southern Miss, maybe UTSA have some of the best defensive lines in the game, in the conference?
Yeah, I think so. I think UTSA has a better defensive line than Southern Miss does.
Yeah, but like Southern Miss is like, they're like big and strong. I think that's the difference. As far as like Middle Tennessee, yeah. I don't know how good they are. I haven't watched them that closely. I don't know where to compare them. I mean, I'm looking at FAU.
Southern Miss and in the game you guys played them, which maybe you can help me out here, and I'm looking at box score, kind of reason my confidence is, you know, Ido Smith, their running back, averaged 7.9 yards a carry versus you guys that day. He only had 13 carries for a reason. In a game, they went up early. I don't know why Southern Miss and their quarterback's not strong. You see that I'm just looking at from the box score. They threw the ball 43 times. You know, why is that happening? I can just tell you that mistake. And you're not going to look at a box score and see that we've only threw the ball, you know, that we threw the ball 43 times and Devin Motor Singletary only got it 13 times in this game. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's – I heard you guys say that, and I guess we can answer that. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's going to be FAU people listening to this. If you only watched the box score of that game, I think what you were missing is that that Southern Miss is a big play team. They're not – I mean, they're somewhat efficient, but they're efficient in that they get a lot of big plays. Ito Smith – is a baller, and he can break big plays. North Texas' defensive game plan was to shut down Ito Smith. And hey, look, he still broke a couple big long runs. That's just because he's good. They gave him the ball. They tried to give him the ball, and North Texas really took that away. They were stacking the box and saying, please throw it against us, terrible quarterbacks. And Quadra Griggs, God, I can never say that guy's name. Griggs was unable to take advantage of that. And, I mean, that's really the MO against that team. And, I mean, if you follow, I ended up watching Southern Miss the next game, and they're like, okay, the people are going to stack the box against Ito. How do we respond to that? And they did a good job anticipating that focus and really, you know, using Ito Smith as bait, basically. And he got blown up by Marcus Davenport in the UTSA game. They would just read him, and then they would explode for, like, you know, they would just do run-pass options. So, good on them. But even after the game, I mean, you do have a point. After the game, Jay Hobson was saying, we really should get it to our best player a little bit more. So I see what you're saying there, but the game circumstances were a little bit different. In the same way, like last week, Jeff Wilson. I can't talk about Ito Smith and Jeff Wilson in the same
three
paragraph.
Strikes.
God, that's it. I'm going to quit from podcast. Retire from podcast.
I mean, with the North Texas defensive line, they're not elite enough to, you know, stop an Ito Smith from gaining big yardage. They're not going to do that. The offense is going to make the other team uncomfortable. They're going to put up a big lead like they do in the first quarter, and it kind of changes the other team's game plan. So that's what happened with specifically with Southern Miss is that
and UTSA jumped out to 13
going
point
up
lead,
on them, and they started going away from Ito Smith.
Yeah, I mean, so
here's
this is the, this is going to be
the other.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say to kind of flip the other side of the ball. And, you know, I talked about this last time, you know, kind of just talking about how this game might play out is, you know, the way, you know, I find the most interesting matchup of the whole week is FAU's strongest position, you know, versus, you know, I believe, you know, your strongest position, that's our DBs versus your receivers. I told FAU fans to be expected to be frustrated a little bit. Mm-hmm. We play a lot, like I said last time, we play a lot of man coverage. They're going to complete passes. They're going to get yards. You know, that's what you kind of expect when you play a lot of man. I expect to see a lot of bunch formations, kind of picks, crossing routes, trying to kind of get guys open in that man. But, you know, we're stacked with Florida DBs, and if there's, you know, one position in probably, you know, the most talented rich state in the country, it's defensive back. And we're getting, you know, we had four interceptions the last game. A couple were dropped. We've forced two interceptions every game this year, except for, I believe, the Navy in the Buffalo game. In the Navy game, we had one against triple option team. So they're going to play and be like, all right, you guys can get your yards, you complete some passes, but, you know, they're going to try and force some turnovers. And they've been able to get everyone to do that so far. And it might not be four or five, but, you know, one or two might make the difference in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's if I had to design a game plan against North Texas, that's kind of where I'd go, because I think everybody right now is taking a look at Jalen Guyton's numbers, as in rightly so. But I think the thing about it is that coming into the season, and I still maintain that Jeff Wilson is the best player on the offense. And I know it sounds ridiculous to say when you look at the last two games, you're like, dude, 500 yards or like 450 yards, whatever it is, of receiving offense and like, five touchdowns? Like, I mean, come on. Isn't this guy the best player? And I'd say, no, it's still Jeff Wilson. And, I mean, I'm designing the game plan. I noted the similarities between Southern Miss and North Texas previously, if you've been listening to this podcast. It stopped Ito Smith on over there, and it stopped Jeff Wilson here. So, yeah, I think if the FAU corners can actually hang with Jalen Guyton, and I think that's the difference between North Texas this season, is that nobody can just stack the box and shut down Jeff Wilson. You know, they have to respect Jalen Guyton's speed, and I think he's made everybody pay. He's had 270-plus yard touchdowns this season. So then that opens things up for everybody else, not only the other receivers, but Jeff Wilson. That's going to be a fun matchup. I don't know too much about the y'all's corners. Aldo, have you seen anything from the FAU corners? You want to counter his point about his own team on our podcast?
Well, to be fair to the FAU corners, I was just watching the Wisconsin game carefully, and you know it's a different talent level, so I can't gauge them as fairly as I could against ODU or Middle Tennessee.
Yeah.
But. You know, the tight end for Wisconsin was getting open regularly, but the Wisconsin quarterback was just not getting it to him. But credit to FAU is they created a lot of turnovers. The first quarter of Navy, I've got it on in the background. There's already two or three fumbles that FAU recovered. So when there's an opportunity there, FAU's going to take it. So we just got to be careful with the ball, both in the air and on the
ground. Yeah. Our D line is deep as well. They have a good rotation. You know, kind of some of our run defensive stats are kind of slanted because our first two games are a Navy, of course, and you know what they bring triple option wise. Yeah. And then, you know, you go up and play Kevin Taylor. I actually went to that Wisconsin game, and that tight end is actually a future first-round pick. And, you know, they were trying to get him the ball because, you know, they're just trying to take advantage of smaller linebackers, you know, covering this guy. The corners were covered pretty well. I believe they only had one completion over 30 yards in that game, you know. But FAU's defense has gotten better along the way. They, you know, FAU's corners play really good as a unit. They rotate them. They have, you know, they'll have 6-7 guys they'll play consistently.
So who on FAU do you think checks Jalen Guyton? Who's the fastest? Who do you think Lane Kiffin says, well, all right, you're going to be our dude? Especially if they're matching man-to-man.
I said this, the person to look at, I said this on our podcast, the first thing I'm going to look at, are they going to trail him with one of our, you know, better corners? Raquan Williams is probably our best corner. He had, like, you know, according to Pro Football Focus, he had the second lowest, like, passing rating against him in the conference last year. You know, so he's our only senior in the secondary as well. You know, maybe one of the most naturally gifted corners we have is on the other side, and that's Shelton Lewis. He's big, strong. I'm curious to see if they'll trail him with one of those guys, if they'll just kind of play him, you know, as he comes. You know, where Middle Tennessee had some success, again, throwing the ball on us was, you know, they'll bunch their formations, they'll run a bunch of crossing routes, they're trying, you know, as much as they can, you know, pick guys, and you know, that's kind of the best way to get man coverage, to get guys open. You know, so I kind of expect to see that, you know, from North Texas. But, you know, the goal of our defense is, you know, not to shut them down on every play. It's, you know, you guys do that enough times and they hope to bait you in 2 or 3 interceptions.
Yeah. I mean, that, like I said, I think there's a lot of similarities with the Conference USA teams. And I mean, in a lot of ways, I think FAU and North Texas are similar. We, believe it or not, have a good running game also. And I think when North Texas hasn't been playing well, Aldo, you can back me up here and see if I'm make sure I don't say anything stupid. It's been when they've been outside of their game, not playing their game. First quarter against UTSA was at 200-something yards. Fourth quarter against UTSA, 175 yards or something like that. Middle two quarters, it was awful. I think there was like 60, 70 yards total or something like that. And a lot of that was because UTSA was grinding out the clock. So I do have some concern. I mean, North Texas is really good. Like, you look at the advanced numbers, standard downs. North Texas is like elite, like number 8 in the country on second down or something like that.
I said on our podcast this week as well, I think these are the 2 best coaches in the conference as well. So... You know,
yeah, I mean, yeah.
That element too.
I think an underrated thing about Lane Kiffin, everybody talks about his controversies and stuff, and I think you and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, is, you know, that the dude can coach. I mean, he was the offensive coordinator of a national championship winning team, and I know that's Alabama, and maybe I can go out there and coach him, but, you know, USC was ranked number 3 in the nation when he was there, right?
He's been Tennessee's best coach in the last decade, so.
Yeah, but that's not saying too much, you know. But yeah, I know.
But still, like, you know, everywhere he's been, even at USC, he won 10 games with a team with sanctions, and then it started to fall apart when they had 55, 60 scholarships, and, you know, they fired him on, you know, kind of unfairly. But, you know, yes, the guy can coach. And, you know, I said that, you know, Latrell comes from a really good staff as well. So he's, you know, good up and coming coach. I think it's kind of Lane and Latrell are kind of 2 best coaches, and everyone wants to look to Stock Still or Doc Holliday or kind of like the older seated coaches in Conference USA. And I don't see how they're good as these 2 guys.
I mean, you can definitely make an argument. I think the big benefit of what, like, Frank Wilson, Aldo, is like his recruiting ability. But I mean, I think he got outcoached 2 seasons in a row by Seth Luttrell. Like, last season, North Texas went to UTSA with a worse team because they had a freshman quarterback, and they almost won the game, but for turnovers. This season, I think the game came down to some like coaching adjustments. I don't know that North Texas has the advantage over at Lane and Kid Briles over there, but I don't know. I mean, so what else you got, Shane? Is there anything else you want to wrap up with? I mean, do you want to give a prediction, score prediction? I didn't hear you predict anything on your show.
I hate the score prediction. I actually think this game could end up being a little lower scoring than most people think. Everyone's doing like the 44-43, I think it could reflect more of what you guys saw last week, where it felt like it was more high scoring, but the score is only, you know, in the 20s against UTSA. I think that could be something we could see. We'll definitely see how the weather pans out down here.
I like to call that an old school shootout, like a 1990s shootout. If you saw that 28-29 in the 90s, you'd be like, oh man, that was a score fest. The over under is what, like 63.5 or 66? I think that's pretty decent.
Yeah, I mean, I always think Vegas is right, so I think we'll be looking, you know, dead at that number with two minutes to go. the thing is also, you watch Conference USA week to week, and I think, and you were kind of, what you were talking about earlier is who's bad and who's good. I think, you know, it's fun that these two former Sun Belt teams are playing, the biggest game in the conference this week. I will still say this, kind of teams 1 through 8 in this conference, I feel like sometimes there's just no pecking order. Anyone could beat anyone every week. The games are just so wild and back and forth. I feel like teams are just, kind of very up and down, on this level. So this conference just every week never kind of ceases to be amazing who wins, who loses. I feel like there's no real pecking order. It's just kind of a jambalaya of who kind of gets hot at the right time. We'll see. FE's coming off a bye week, which a lot of people like, but Lane said multiple times this week, he's like, man, we're playing really well and we're pretty healthy. I really didn't want a bye week at this time.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, to support your point there, I totally did not see FIU just dominating Tulane, especially Tulane was like killing everybody there for a while. They killed Tulsa and then,
FIU can play the run, and I think that just kind of fell into their hands. Their weakest part of their team is their secondary. I think that was just a favorable matchup. I was shocked as well, but I think it's a favorable matchup. I still don't think FIU is very good. I'm going to continue saying that.
What is that I smell? I sniff some intrastate hate there. I think that's what that is. I think it's coloring the view.
I just don't think you beat UNC Charlotte by a missed field goal and can, just say you're on the same level as all the other, 4-win teams as everyone else in the conference.
Yeah, I mean, FIU had a big game at home and then they blew it, and I think that kind of said everything about it. They played well against Tulane, but I think that was kind of a toss up there. An anomaly. That's what I mean to say. It is late, and I am drinking a beer.
I think the matchup was just a favor, but we'll see when we get them at the second to last game of the year. FIU has a really tough stretch here. My prediction before the beginning of the year was 7 wins. I said, we would play you guys, and then we go at Western Kentucky, home versus Marshall on a Friday night, which if you look at their schedule, they could be coming in. I think they would be 8-1 or 9-1 at the time, and then at Louisiana Tech. So I said, hey, if we can just split these two out of these next 4 games against these opponents and then take care of business against FIU and UNC Charlotte, 7 wins in a bowl. And, Lane's going bowling in his first year with a 4-game improvement. And, I think Owl fans would be ecstatic with that.
I mean, yeah, I think
it's really cool that, teams like FIU, FAU, and North Texas last year were some of the worst in the conference. And now they're just leading in all kinds of stats.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I said it last time I spoke to you guys, I think I kind of resent some of the old guard of Conference USA. When a couple weeks ago, and I think there was a game where Motor Singletary had 4 touchdowns and Ido Smith had 1, and even Motor Singletary had more yards than him and he won, I'm just like, oh man, more of those, those Southern old, writers voting for the teams they know they're most familiar with. And it's just, Southern Miss fans are just looking up at UCF and ECU and all those schools saying, oh, we used to be with you guys, and they're not. So, and same with Louisiana Tech. You're the same. I said this last, they're the same schools they were 20 years ago, and they'll be the same school as they are 20 years from now. Those programs and those teams are always going to be small.
Those are the hottest sports opinions on this podcast. I mean, you know what? I can't really argue with you. I mean, and not that I want to. I don't really want to argue. I don't really care about Louisiana Tech, Southern Miss. I will say, though, that
we're on the other side of the conference, yeah, but I know you guys deal with their fans a lot more than we do. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I will say that Ito Smith is damn good, though. I mean, I understand your point. Like, hey, Singletary should have been given a little bit more props and a little bit more recognition. But Ito Smith, he can do it all, though. And I mean, he's done it multiple years.
After this weekend, you're going to be like, oh, man, Ito Smith is not the same. I mean,
Singletary is a
human highlight reel.
Yeah,
not only is he a good runner, it's a sexy running too. I mean, just the cuts and the moves, you know, it's kind of worth the price of admission sometimes.
We'll definitely see it next week. I mean, hey, thanks for joining the show. We appreciate your insight into Florida Atlantic. I mean, you know, I peek out my door and I'm like, hey, are there any Owls fans out here? And then nobody says anything. And so it's nice to, you know, gaze into the internet and see you guys over there passionate about FAU.
Some of your fans on the message board this week, and I peeked over at your message board. They're like, oh, man, there's a lot. It's a lot more active. I mean, a couple guys went on there and said some things. And, people started trash talking quick. But, you know, just to have a game, you know, where there's trash talking in conference on a message board.
It's fun.
Is pretty rare. You know, it just we haven't had that, you know, with three win seasons. So it's like, okay, you know, this is where we should be. You know, some people are calling this, you know, this is the biggest conference game we've had since we've opened the stadium. I know it's not saying a lot, but it's just, we just haven't been good recently. And the only big games we really had are due to our opponent. You know, I'm sure I think you guys opened your stadium the year after ours.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think I understand your point, and I totally agree with it. Like, I mean, you know, like Florida Atlantic about this time last season, I think I heard you guys talking on a podcast, and you guys were like, hey, maybe we can get to 5 wins. That was the big drama in October, you know, in October's previous. Same with us. I mean, 2 years ago, we fired our coach, right, because we had a super embarrassing loss. And, you know, it's been a struggle to maintain, I want to say, to get North Texas back to where it was in the early 2000s, where a lot of older alumni are like talking about the good old days, and a lot of younger ones are like, really? I don't know nothing about that. Y'all didn't even have HD back then. I can't even see highlights in HD. So
yeah, it's funny. This weekend, I don't know if it's North Texas, they're, you know, FAU is actually honoring its 10-year anniversary of the 2007 New Orleans Bowl team, which you know, at the time was like it was the fifth year of our program, and they'd won a bowl, and this is kind of right at the beginning. We won a lot of teams before a ton of teams were jumping to the Division I level.
Right.
You know, people kind of thought like the ceiling was so high at that point. We're like, we won a bowl game in our second year in division, like second or third year in Division I. You know, this is easy. thinking. So they're honoring, you know, that team, you know, Schellenberger and all that stuff. But you know, so it's a big weekend.
Well, cool, man. It was good talking to you. We're gonna let you go now. Get back to doing whatever it is you guys do in Florida at this time. I'm not talking mess. I don't know how to end the call. I guess.
They eat
it's good
gators.
Talking to you.
Y'all eat gators over there. That's what y'all do, Buck Raton.
You know what? You just see them everywhere, kind of Florida. You know, but it's actually kind of fun right now because you know Florida State and Florida are just terrible. So
you guys are at the perfect moment to do something. So that's pretty cool. I mean, I think it was the Lane Kiffin hire was maybe a little risky, but you can't do anything special without a little risk. So I think that was good.
The thing is I read at other schools, but you know FAU's administration is like so behind football. It's, you know, you don't go out and hire Lane Kiffin unless you're taking chances to win football games, you know. So, you know, I expect him to be here, you know, probably a couple of years and move on. But, you know, if we can get a couple winning seasons and then elevate our program, it's worth it.
Man. Well, all right then, man. Good talking to you. All right, dude. So now that you've heard from the FAU fans and you've been watching the Navy game like a crazy person, what do you see? Even when talking to him or whatever, I gotta say, I don't really believe in FAU that much. I think there's some specific dangers there, and we talked about it just with this guy I've mentioned on Twitter. You know, we talked about it in the Slack conversation. I think what scares me about them is that they can run. They have a commitment to run. So any team that commits to something like that is dangerous because they can do it well. And you have to respect your opponent and think, okay, one or two drives, it's going to go their way. And we saw that with UAB. They were an under-talented team compared to us, I thought. And yet, two drives. The opening drive, they took it right down our throat. It was like 14 plays, touchdown. And to end the game, to tie it, 14 plays and a touchdown, long down the field. Ran, converted some passes. You know, that kind of, I don't think it scares me, but it concerns me. UTSA, same kind of deal. I thought we could handle their run game, but I'm like, you know, they like to line up and run, and I believe we can stop them, but if we're slipping off our game just a little bit, that could be a problem. And, you know, I think we're talking about it last week on our Sunday on the podcast. There were some scary points there. I think you were like, hey, it's going to be an 8-minute drive. They're going to just go down and score. Oh, my God. That's a real concern because they could. It comes down to it. They were 3 yards away from winning the game. And even though I just gave them a bunch of credit for being committed to the run, they weren't, right? God, I mean, if that were any other coach, I think, with a little bit more guts, they say, hey, we're going to run for this first down right now.
And they had the ball, and they had a drive going that they were just going to eat up the clock. With FAU, they run hot and cold. You know, yeah. they don't hold on to the ball as long as we do on average. So that's, well, vulnerability, their consistency. If we can stop the run, which we had trouble with against UAB and UTSA, at least in terms of stopping first downs, if we can shut that down, then obviously we can force Driscoll to pass, and that's a weakness. But for us, we have to be consistent in stopping the run in the first place.
Yeah.
So on paper, it matches up really well. Our defense is good against the run. They have an excellent run offense, but we have some consistency problems. Through the air, I think they can be tested, especially with somebody like Jalen Guyton. And if they try to shut Jalen Guyton down, then we'll just pass it to a guy like Michael Lawrence, or we can hand it off to Jeff Wilson. You know, what Wisconsin did and what Navy's been doing is run away from, I don't know the guy, but the left defensive end. They run the ball to you know, stage left. They run the ball to the left, away from that guy, because our right tackle is going to have a problem. But to the left or up the middle is a big vulnerability for FAU. And I think we can use that. Wilson will use it to his advantage. And I think my prediction that I had on the Slack channel was that Nick Smith was going to have a pretty good game. He might have like 5 or 6 carries, but it's going to explode for big yardage.
Dang, hot. Lots of hot sports opinions on this. I feel like the only one that's just conservative radio host here. Like, well, you know, we just got to see the games, got to see how they play. You never know. Yeah, all right. So I see this game as being like UAB, but harder. Like, you know, if we were talking on the show and I was like, you know, UTSA is a lot like Iowa, but like less good, right? I think that the FAU is UAB, but more advanced. And just because they have a little bit more talent, they've been recruiting at the FBS level for a little bit longer. But, and then they have a better coach. And I think that's, I mean, I'm sure like the Daily Dragon guys were like, oh, Bill Clark is a magician right now. You look at the, you know, and that's a valid point. And I mean, yeah.
The quarterback is pretty good though. The UAB quarterback. And I think he is better than Driscoll, but, FAU has McNair and they have Singletary and they have, Howell. The Singletary and Howell are the running backs and they're both pretty darn good. McNair is the wide receiver that North Texas was trying to pick up last season, this past season.
You mean DeAndre McNeil? Is that what you're talking about?
McNeil, yeah. Not McNair.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's their leading receiver, 22 receptions, 323 yards, 2 touchdowns. So FAU's passing attack has been substandard. Like, they've been, I think, Lane Kiffin said, it's not where we want it to be. And also, as Shane just said, they really haven't had to. I mean, you know, they're completing less than 60% of their passes in a couple of their games, like Bethune-Cookman, less than 60% of their passes. That's less than ideal. And, I mean, they threw it, what, 32 times against them? That's – so to Shane's point, he's like, look, we're beating the teams we're supposed to beat, right? That's a plus, and you got to respect that. And, yes, you do. We made this point against Lamar when we were talking about him. You know, I said – North Texas should get 60 points on Lamar because Lamar is less talented. Also, they haven't practiced all week. You know, they're escaping a hurricane, and we're like, hey, do you want to play football? So, you know, we should beat them at that level, and we did. So that's an indicator of how good we were or we are, right? So same with, like, Bethune-Cookman, who's not very good. They should be more efficient, right? They should win. And they won 45-0. You're like, oh, look at that. And we ran all day, 400-something yards. I'm like, but yeah, 19 of 32 passing, 59% completion, that's not ideal. 180 yards, that's not good. And now, I did make a similar point about Mason Fine against Lamar. I was like, you'd like that completion percentage to be a little bit higher. There were a couple sacks or a couple of hurries, and that was concerning. But other than that, you know, we were taking shots downfield. We were good.
Yeah, and I think there's a difference. Like a team like UTSA, their passing is designed to be high percentage and off of play action. Mm-hmm. Our offense and FAU's offense are designed to attack deep.
Yeah.
And so it's harder to complete those kinds of passes. And I think Driscoll's just not there yet, like Mason Fine is in terms of the deep ball. I mean, McNeil will destroy a defense if you leave him alone.
Let him.
Yeah, exactly. So my point is, North Texas needs to force FAU to pass the ball more than it has to, or more than it wants to. And I think putting FAU in long situations with as good of a defense that North Texas has on first and second down, I think that's possible. And if we continue to be consistent on that front, then you know, we should be okay.
Yeah, I guess just to complete my point here, against Bethune-Cookman, and I know that was 3 weeks ago and they've gotten better, but DeAndre McNeil had, his longest was 28 yards, which is not very long. It's long, but it's not crazy. It's maybe definitely not as long as you expect against Bethune-Cookman. He had 4 catches, 70 yards, 28 was his longest. And then, you know, like you go down, that nothing there stands out. And so if you're like, hey, they're a deep threat team, they're throwing it, you know, you run, throw it deep. Where is that? It wasn't there here. And, I mean, none of this to say that they're not – I'm not trying to say FAU's not good, because obviously the run game is special at this point in time, and they're probably going to score a touchdown, run the ball, and, you know, it's going to be –
They scored 8 rushing touchdowns against ODU.
And then it was also ODU. So, I mean, that's the thing, is that, like, how good are they? We don't know. They're real good rushing the ball, but is it just kind of a – just right now kind of thing.
I mean, talent-wise, Singletary definitely is a very good running back, and he has that classic NFL style of running. Jeffrey Wilson bends the runs.
Good.
Ito Smith is agile. Yeah, and Singletary has more of like the cut, like that Le'Veon Bell style of patience, mm-hmm. and then explode him through the hole. So mm-hmm. credit to him. He's pretty darn good. Driscoll, he's not fast, but he's pretty smart in deciding when to run. So he's got good vision to run.
You know what I think is a good indicator of how good we've been defensively and rushing is that we've only had 232 rushing attempts against us, which is like 7th in the conference. I'm looking at it right now. And you're like, well, shouldn't that be? I mean, whatever. Like nobody, they're not running a lot against us, and they try to throw against us a lot because they have to. And it's real simple. It's real simple, guys. I know we sound like we're repeating things, but by the way, we've been thrown against the third most in the conference, 212 attempts against us. We've been getting teams to play our game. You know, you just heard Shane talk about it. He's like, I don't know why Southern Miss is throwing the ball. Well, because they felt like they had to. Well, one, we're like stacking the line, and we're sticking at the time Nate Brooks or Eric Jenkins out there. And or Keymon Hall, and we're saying, throw it, guys, see what you could do. We have the quote-unquote worst secondary in the league, right? We're relying on a bunch of pass yards. Go ahead and throw it. And they tried to throw it. Against a team like FAU, that's not as enticing because they don't want to do that, you know? UAB was able to do it because they took advantage of Nate Brooks. We've corrected that mistake. And Southern Miss was not able to do that. UTSA was not able to do that. I mean, they had a couple of 40-yard touchdowns, and we talked about this last week, but those are to the running backs, and those came off play action. You know, their style of play. So really, they didn't hit us in our weakest spot. They had some good well-designed plays, and I know it all kind of falls into the same category as pass defense, but it's a little bit different. They're not beating our standard, you know, third down defense where we are vulnerable. Hopefully that makes sense to you listening now.
And the third down defense, and I'm writing an article on this, so I've got the numbers in my brain. It has improved over the last two games. Before then, other teams were completing 50, 60%, which is atrocious. It's terrible. Yeah. Over anything over 40-something percent. In the past two games, while not great, it's been a huge improvement. I think it's in the mid-40s, so it's gone from a pretty bad deep pass or a third down defense to pretty average.
And I mean, I said that's going to make all the difference. You kind of seen it. Like, we haven't allowed so many points the last couple weeks. So look at that SMU game, and I think I may have gifted a couple of them in that little write-up I did in the SMU game. Just go to the site, type in SMU in the search box, and it'll come up. You can find it. And the reason you're doing that is so you can get an example. You get an idea of what we're talking about here. We had SMU, like, shut down. We're, like, really good, like a sack, or, you know, we got them, like, a false start or something. And then they would just complete. They just throw it up to what's-his-face. And I can't even say his name. He who shall not be named. So we've seen less of that, right? UTSA wasn't able to do that. And we're talking about a UTSA team that can throw. I think Dalton Sturm is a good quarterback, a solid mid-range to high-level Conference USA quarterback. He just had tore up Southern Miss for 367 yards. He can throw the ball. And we didn't really allow him to do that so much. You know, he only threw for like 212 yards, something like that. So what I'm saying is, I don't know that Driscoll's a better quarterback than Dalton Sturm. So if we can get FAU into similar situations, third down situations, like we got UTSA in, then I think we should be okay.
Like that 3rd and 17 that Sturm converted.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, on the Gummy Green message board, GMG24, he's a defensive coach. He was talking about the specific scenario in there, and I was like, hey, you saved me a lot of time because I was going to go back and look at some of those things. He said we had a single high safety and we did a twist, and you know, Sturm stepped up into the gap, and the safety turned and ran like he's supposed to with the receiver going down the seam, and once he recognized it, he was like, oh hell, let me turn around and go make the tackle. I mean, that's the problem. We can't get a whole lot of pressure on third downs, and so then we leave our corners open, and if they get beat, that's, you know, that's a first down. Or if there's nobody open, which that play was an example of that. Great defense secondary, but, you know, the quarterback has time to run. And he can run. Dalton Sturm can run. That's the big, you know, that's the big problem with running quarterbacks. I don't know if you've been paid attention to football since, 2004 or something like that? It's been this big story. Like, hey, man, running quarterbacks are real hard to stop. How do you stop that? You can't.
So I saw that replay, and yeah, after the twist on the replay, there's nobody behind the twist. Like, mm-hmm. the middle opens up, and he just runs it up the field. But FAU has kind of a similar attacking style where they're always attacking off the edges with their defensive end and linebacker.
Yeah.
And it leaves them pretty vulnerable up the middle. And Wisconsin and both Navy and Wisconsin have, you know, chewed up a lot of yards up the middle. So I think, you know, we've depended a lot on our outside runs.
Yeah.
Just because we couldn't block up the middle. And I think the offensive line has gelled enough, and there will be enough opportunities to go up the middle that, you know, it's pretty obvious on film that that's what they're going to have to do.
Yeah. So if you want, you're like, all right, look, you guys have been talking a lot of details. Just give me something I can hold on to and I can repeat, you know, and I can sound smart. Here's what it is. North Texas has an offensive system that is designed to take advantage of your vulnerabilities, whatever they may be. Like, we have strength, obviously. Jalen Guyton is really fast, and we'd like to have him run real far and throw the ball to him, right? That's pretty simple. So defenses are scared of that, so they're going to play off, right? And we say, you know what, our plays are designed to have a deep option and a short option, you know, like it's designed to take what, you know, again, take advantage of your vulnerabilities. So like all those talking about here, we've had success running against the edges on teams. And we have taken advantage of those, and we are really good at that because Jeff Wilson's really fast. And so we said, you know what, UAB, your big 300-pound dude in the middle, he's going to gobble up space. You can have it. We're going to just run over there and go around you. And we had success doing that. UTSA, you know, you have a 300-pound defensive tackle and a monster defensive end that's super fast and 6'7", 255, and hard to block. Cool. We're going to run around him and go the other way. We had success doing that. So against a Florida Atlantic team that maybe wants to attack to the edges, yeah, we're going to attack, run up the middle. Now, we're not as strong doing that. And I think if you look at the advanced numbers, again, our power runs are not very successful. You just have to look back at that 3rd and 3 and then 4th and 3, and then you see we're not so great at that. Even look at the first touchdown drive. It was like 3 handoffs before Mason finally went around the edge. Like, we're not so great running shit up the middle. But again, that was their strength.
That comes in obvious situations, though.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's at the goal line. There's 2 yards. You have to punch it in. Well, what are they going to do? I'll try to run up the middle.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So we try to do our best, and we've been successful doing this, not putting ourselves in those situations, right? Second down, you know what the easiest way to avoid a 3rd and 3 is? If on a 2nd and 7, you just throw a 77-yard touchdown pass. Then you don't have to do any 3rd downs. You don't have to run any short yardage. You just, you know, score touchdowns. They can line up. If they line up and say, we're going to bring the house, right? We're going to just bring everybody we have and attack you, which I think more teams will do. North Texas will counter with bubble screens, the quick tosses, like counter runs, things that you've seen them mix in, right? You've seen a couple of the touch passes to Jalen Guyton. You've seen a couple of the screens that have been messing up. What's up?
Or the mesh play to win the game with 10 seconds left on the clock.
Yeah, I was going to end with that, man. I was my closer. But yeah, that one. Now you're like, okay, but that would, they, you know, he got hit. You don't want Mason Fine to take these hits. Yeah, I mean, that's what they're going to do. They're like, you know what? We can't stop him. We're going to just hit him as hard as we can. Obviously, we don't want that to happen. So we're going to try to keep him clean. And the thing is, like, yeah, we're going to try to hit him on a couple of quick things. Again, look at the SMU game. We hit like 3 or 4 quick stuff, just quick throws to Mike Lawrence. There was a snag route to, I think it was Smiley. We hit a couple bubble screens, the tunnel screens, I mean. You're going to see a lot of those that takes advantage of their press, and you're throwing it right behind the rushing in linebackers and the defensive ends that are pinning their ears back. I like our offensive coordinators, Grant Merrill, and I think Seth Luttrell probably has a lot of input on this, because they've been able to do a lot of self-scouting. I've seen a lot of it. I mean, I don't know if you've, I mean, I think you've seen it too. We are really good at finding new things. That Mason Fine running along the edge, we hadn't seen that all season, right? A lot of Mason Fine runs were like delay draws, QB draws, or like a read. I think we read some of SMU guys. Just off the top of my head, but we hadn't seen a quarterback power run or like any of that stuff. Hey, we pulled it out against UTSA, and I think we're going to see a little bit of that against Florida Atlantic to take advantage of their aggression. Yeah, maybe.
For sure, I'd like to see some QB draws up the middle. I think we'll see at least one time. It'll be a pivotal moment, and he's going to get a first down. He's going to helicopter for that first down.
You know, that reminds me. I think, and I'm probably wrong, I'm thinking about Mason Fine's run against UTSA last year. And I want to say, and I may be real wrong here, but I think UTSA had Iguagu. You remember that guy? He was like one of their best. I think he was like a dog or a rover. He's one of their safeties, right? And he was one of their more talented players. And they would bring him on blitzes or just bring him on edge. And so what we did, we just kind of, that it was like a draw, and we got him offside and then, you know, ran by him by just doing the delay there. So if FAA is doing the same kind of thing, if they're bringing edge pressure, that's what you do to edge pressure. You invite it and you run up the middle, run past it. I feel good about this game now. After talking to everybody, I feel a little bit better. I do think that our run defense is not going to be as strong as it has been only because we have some injuries and only because the travel. The previous game where we had to defend UTSA attempting to run the ball so hard. I mean, basically, does that mean we're going to get scorched? No, but I think it's going to be a little bit more difficult. Does that make sense, I guess?
I guess FAU needs to keep up with scoring. I think that's how it's going to happen. FAU just needs to be able to keep up scoring, and they're going to turn to their quarterback, and that's where we win.
So just in case anybody's wondering, like, well, how are we good defending the run? Lamar ran it 33 times. Some of those are quarterback sacks or whatever. SMU ran it 34 times, only for 99 yards. Iowa, 59 times. They're the only team that said, we are extra going to run. And you remember I compared Iowa and UTSA. UTSA had 41 rushes for 174 yards. And I heard their podcast, and they're like, I mean, UTSA got 4.2 yards a carry, I mean, so they could actually run. And how good? Well, those are quarterback runs, and I know those count as runs, but I remember myself saying this. They on the runs where they said, hey, we're going to turn around and hand it off to Jalen Rhodes on this design run that we practice every day, right, in our weak eye set, they didn't get a whole lot of yards off of that. And those are the kinds of runs that are the ones I'm concerned about. Like scrambles, those happen. Obviously, you don't want those, but I don't think that those Dalton Sturm ones runs are like, I don't want to say something stupid like, you don't want to count those as yards, but yeah, you do, but you don't, you know, that's not really indicative of our rush defense. That was kind of more of a pass play, if that makes any kind of sense.
It was a defensive breakdown that counted against our rush.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, if you take out those or at least kind of adjust for those, and you say, can we stop the run when they turn around and just say, we're going to run at you when we know it's going to be a run, when we see the run formation, when they turn around and actually do run at us, can we stop it? Yeah, I think so. We did so against UTSA. Yeah, Southern Miss had 145 rush yards. Again, Ito Smith is good. UAB only had 74, you know? If Nate Brooks didn't get beat on those which call plays, we blow them out going away. You know what I mean? And again, I know that's kind of stupid. Like, if we would have won that game, we would have won. Yeah, that sounds stupid, but that's kind of what I'm getting at. Is like, that was way out of character, and we were kind of shocked by it. But UAB's tough, and you know, they found a way. They're like life. Does that make sense? You guys hear what I'm saying here out there on the internet? Hopefully. And we're not live right now, so I'm kind of talking to you in the future. This is the ghost of Wednesday past. Anything else that you see that you want to bring up that you've been looking at more stats from North Texas?
Not stat-wise. I think, you know, to bring it home, not even to bring it home, just an observation. FAU's going to try to start out big. Like, they're going to try to get some big chunk passes right at the gate, just to test, kind of like a boxing match, see what we can do.
Yeah, see if you can handle the big right cross and see what you do with it.
Exactly, and as long as we stay disciplined, you know, as long as Garner watches film and says, "Oh, I don't need to be doing that again," and to protect or watch against the QB run, because you'll have to have a spy against Driscoll.
Yeah,
because he'll be in design runs and he's gonna run a lot. So we need to be careful with that. So, you know, as long as you stay disciplined, it should be okay. FAU is a young team. You know, like he said, they brought in 36 new players. So they're going to be good for a while. And this will be a good formula if we ever play them again with later on this season. Hint, hint.
Do you buy that this is a preview of the conference championship game? Are you even thinking that far ahead?
I'm not thinking that far ahead. It's too soon. I haven't seen any of Marshall play.
I've seen a little bit of it. I don't even know. Here's my hot take on Marshall. They have a really good defense. They haven't played anybody, but I'm respecting their offense. They still got Litton out there. They still got Ryan Juracek, the tight end. And I talked to that guy. He seems so quiet and unassuming. You wouldn't think that he's like a badass tight end, but he is. You're just like, you know, just play. I think if you go back to Conference USA podcast, the one on your feed, you can hear him talk for a little bit. Yeah, I don't know. Marshall's good. I think their defense is pretty good, but I don't think they can score with a team that can like break down their defense. Like, there's some give, but football's like, you know, maybe like Alabama, you're not going to get any give from the defense, right? Like, if North Texas played Alabama, I think we look like a bad offense, right? Because Alabama's that good. But everybody else here in the conference, you know, we've seen two of the best statistical defenses in the league, right? And we already had our doubts, especially just because they hadn't played a team as good as North Texas. And we saw them give, right? North Texas came in averaging only 286 yards a game allowed. And boom, 441, right? Including that even if you take out that 98-yarder, that's still 300-something yards gained on them, right? Same thing, even for North Texas, we came in averaging 500, and we played a pretty solid defense, and, you know, we only had 441, but our give was not so much, right? You go down from 500 to 441, right? It's not so much. You saw it more in the run game than the pass game, and again, yeah, 98-yard drive, but as I said in the show last week, that's always in our repertoire, right? We always can get that kind of thing. You said it, right? You're like, hey, don't forget that against Southern Miss, we had a 98-yard drive, you know, like, that's something we could do.
Exactly.
It's a good-ass offense. Practice. Yeah, it's a good-ass offense, man.
But so, there's not to be a pessimist, but, you know, sometimes just we'll have bad weeks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it could be this week. It could be next week. It could be against UTEP or Rice. We'll have a bad week.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we've grown out of that, though.
You know, I think the last time the pass game had a bad week, off the top of your head, what is it? We'll say it at the same time on three. Ready? One, two, three. Iowa.
UTEP.
No, well, not prediction. Like the last one.
Oh, that's what I was thinking. Last season, I thought the Iowa game was okay.
No, it wasn't. Think how many times that Mason Fine missed those deep balls, like the ones over the middle. Like we're like, oh, that was just beyond his grasp. Oh, that was just a little too far. Like I think it's, you know, people were like, oh, we gave him a good game, and we did, but we had some opportunities that we totally missed. So when people are kind of waiting for Mason Fine to have a poor game, I feel like he already did. Just a sneaky poor game. I mean, you remember it was Quinn Shanbour, All-Star MVP of the spring games, two-time reigning MVP of the spring games, that had the touchdown pass at the end of the quarter, second quarter. Remember?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, it's going to be a test, and this is a fun game. I'm a little nervous about it. But I feel good about the UTSA win, so I still have that glow, right? And, I mean, Coach Latrell over here was liking my shirt that I created, so I feel even better. I'm like, man, that's two validations right there, you know? I feel good about this game. I feel good about North Texas' ability to travel. I like Seth Luttrell's ability to motivate these guys. I think everybody's buying into the things, especially since they've had success. It's going to be a challenge going to FAU, but, I mean, what, are they going to bring 12,000 people again? It's not exactly imposing, right? 16,000 for Bethune-Cookman, 28,000 for Navy, that was a big one, but I can tell you right now, most of that was Navy fans. There's a lot of Navy, and there's a lot of Lane Kiffin looky-loos. I don't know that they get a big crowd there. Is it going to be bigger than the 23,000 that was there for UTSA? I don't think so, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, you also never know since they're what are they undefeated in the conference themselves? Yeah. They might be getting some attention too, and
I think it might be homecoming there too, so that might bring a little bit. But I mean, look, we played in front of Iowa, 65,000. We've had 20,000 plus crowds, low 20,000 crowds all season long. You know, I don't think that's going to be a factor. Is my point?
I don't think so either. Yeah.
Hey, look, 46 points against UAB, 43 against Southern Miss, 29 against UTSA, 32 against Southern Miss is good, and then 59 against Lamar. This team can score. That's going to be the question. Can they score enough to keep their running game, get them scared? You know what I mean? When they start looking up, they're like, North Texas scored pretty fast. That guy, Jalen Guyton, is amazing. He just ran through our defense. Are we going to really stick to this run game? Yeah.
If they play man on Jalen Guyton, they're going to get eaten up.
Yeah. It's funny. Now I sound like the Shane now. He's like, you know, everybody's been saying, but Motor, what's his face, is just killing everybody, guys. yeah, everybody says they can stop Jalen Guyton. They're like, oh, we got to stop that guy. You know what's going to happen? If they actually do try to stop him, like, let's bracket coverage this dude. Let's really take him out this game. You know what's going to happen is that Jeff Wilson is going to run all day because he's run all day against everybody, against Iowa. He's run against everybody. The only two teams that he's not run well against, I guess you can say, is Southern Miss, Southern Methodist, SMU, and UTSA. And UTSA was because of circumstance, but he still had good yards per carry, and he played a great game. He pass protected amazingly well.
Yeah, he wasn't asked to run. He was asked to protect.
And he did a hell of a job. He should have, like, we already fallen into the trap. We really should give him even more credit for that. And that, we mentioned it a bunch of times on the show in the recap. He was amazing that game. But Jeff Wilson, I think SMU slowed him down a little bit. But we took advantage of that. Like, when they were, you know, one, the game got away from us. And then two, we started throwing the ball a lot more. And, you know, we had success there. So I feel good about this.
Yeah, he always has at least one to two huge gainers.
Yeah.
And it'll just depend on if he gets stopped at the 5 yard line or if he, if he's able to run it in. So I think he'll do fine. He might, you know, the last two games, he's only seen it at most like 13 carries, something like that. But before that, he was getting like 26 and 30 carries. Some of it is game script. Some of it is vulnerabilities of the opposing defense.
Mm-hmm.
But I forgot where I was going with this. But, you know, Jalen Guyton, he's probably not going to get covered in, just in man. You know, coaches are smart and they're going to bracket him. Yeah. Try to take him out of the game. But I mean, even then, you know, UTSA was doing that. He was double to triple covered and Fine was dropping dimes. Like, as a coach, you're looking at that like, what are you doing? He's got two guys on him and then he drops it in the bucket and you're like, oh, and he scores a touchdown. You're like, oh, okay, fine. I'll let it slide. But don't do it again.
Yeah. Yeah. So you look at the Iowa game, right? 12 carries, 95 yards, and he had the big run. And you're like, how come they give him the ball more? Well, again, Iowa said, you know what? We're not getting beat by this dude anymore. We're not letting him slice through everybody. So they were pressing up, making sure that they stopped the run. And we were going over the top. That's the answer, right? If they, you know, like when they attack the net in tennis and you try the little lob over the side, right? That's what you do, right? When they defend the 3-point line, you attack the basket. When they defend the basket, you shoot 3-pointers. I mean, this is just every sport ever, right? That's what you do. Yeah, we just.
Yeah, you saw Turner Smiley get, you know, that huge pass.
That's what we do. So we're just going to take what I like about the offense. Again, the simple answer is that we have guys that can attack every level that they want to give us. They want to take away the run. Well, we have Jalen Guyton and Turner Smiley, who have beaten guys deep. I'm like, okay, well, they want to take away the deep pass. Well, we have intermediate passes. We talk about this every week. Mike Lawrence, Riku Bussey, Kelvin Smith. They've all been really great in the intermediate range, and even Jalen Guyton, too. Jalen Guyton's like, you know, I just do it all. Just throw it to me at a 9-yard stop route, and I'll grab that, too. That's fine. And then once they play a lot of defenders back there, like UAB did trying to defend like a late field goal, we handed it off to Jeffrey Wilson, and he ran for 34 yards to set up a game-winning field goal. Like, we really have answers for a lot of defenses. I think the answer and how to stop North Texas is to have a really dominant pass rusher, a la UTSA, and let him wreak havoc. And even that didn't work all game, right? That's what UTSA did.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And
the only thing
on their side, on FAU side. Go ahead.
Right. They don't have that kind of pass rush. The only thing that'll stop us is ourselves, and Singletary. If he's got huge run after huge run after huge run.
Yeah, I mean, if this happens like a UTEP game, speaking of UTEP, where you're just like, what, the tight end just slicing us up for 80-yard touchdown passes, and we can't stop Aaron Jones, like, you know, if it's the same kind of situation, then yeah, we deserve to lose. I'll say this, I think the other part of the advanced numbers, and I don't have it in front of me, so I may be misspeaking. But I want to say that like the S&P Plus has rated our win probability based on the way we play about at like 70-80% in some of these games, meaning that there's room to improve. It hasn't been just like a really outstanding performance, or we haven't been winning games, you know, like where we're playing amazing,
dominant well. Fashion. Yeah.
And you know that matches the eye test. We haven't been playing a complete game. The UTSA game, we're gonna remember that drive for a long time, but there were two quarters in there where we didn't do anything. There was a 19-yard quarter, right, where they didn't do anything. They had the ball for like 2 minutes or something like that. That can't happen, especially against a team that can run the ball as well as FAU can. I mean, it can't happen against anybody, but, you know, you get my point. I think we're belaboring all these points now.
Yeah, I mean, we disappeared against SMU. We disappeared against Southern Miss. We disappeared against UAB. We keep doing it to ourselves, and we need to be more consistent.
Yeah, but, you know, the great thing is that there are streaks where they're like, okay, my favorite drive line is the touchdown streak. It was like field goal, touchdown, 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 field goal, touchdown, right, against Southern Miss.
Southern basically, Miss, yeah.
It's just like – I like the point – when other teams' fans are resigned to their fate. You know what I mean? Like, I think everybody was posting threads from, like, the UTSA fans' boards. And when you go look at them, they're just like, what? Oh, my God. We can't stop this guy. Our defense sucks. Our coordinator sucks. Our players suck. You know, they just start – they just try to find answers. Like, I can't believe this. We can't stop that guy. And Southern Miss was doing that. They're like, does it? Can we guard him? Oh my God, that guy's just so good. Like, oh God, they're just gonna throw another 50-yard touchdown or 50-yard bomb down the field. Like,
and it's a weird feeling.
It's so weird. It's fun.
Not used to it.
Yeah, it's fun. So this is gonna be a huge game. It's another huge game, and we talked about it last week. This is something that's very unique. I mean, already we're doing a midweek podcast. There was no way I was doing a midweek podcast last season or two seasons ago when it was like we were 1-11. You know what I mean? Like, there was zero interest. You could see on the meangreennation.com numbers, right? Like, nobody's going to the site. Turns out nobody's interested in a 1-11 team, but they're way interested in a 4-2 team. Yeah. Well, yeah, except for me being crazy. Like, well, here's a preview against a team that we're going to lose to by 47. Well, you really got to see that we're going to, yeah. That's the way it goes, guys. I'm going to pimp the shirts a little bit more right now. I designed up a shirt based on the drive because it was super fun and I wanted to wear it. And I figured some other people might want to wear it too. And at least Seth Luttrell expressed Twitter interest in it. So be like Seth Luttrell and at least express Twitter interest in it. But maybe take it another step further and purchase it. It's $29. And because I don't want to be icky, I'm going to get a cut of that. And again, depending on how many I sell, my goal is to break even. And I think we're about at that point where we've broken even here. So you got to order them in bulk and get them shipped and stuff like that. So that way we can give a cut to like the university. I don't know which department to donate to. I'm pretty sure any of them would accept whatever I send them. So it's not going to be a big deal. But we're going to send a cut that way. And you know, it'd be fun. So walk around in the shirt that rubs it in UTSA fans' faces and also celebrates the team. Good stuff. And I think other people express interest in like, hey, I'd wear one that said had the stand on it, like from 2013. So maybe we'll do that one too.
Yeah, if you had that like on a black shirt because it was a blackout game.
That's a good point. I like that. Black with green or black with white?
Well, I don't know. I guess it'd have to be with green.
Yeah. And if you've had any issues trying to purchase it, I've tried to be real responsive with this stuff in my role as temporary t-shirt salesman guy. But it seems like for the most part, everybody's had a positive experience. If you subscribe to the site, you know, there's a $30 annual option or a $3 monthly option. I sent you a discount code and you use that. And at least a couple people have taken advantage of that. So you basically get the shirt at what I'm guessing will be cost. It depending on, again, I'm all roughly guesstimating these things here. So I do have a business degree from North Texas, so I'm using some of that. but, you know, I'm also pretty inexperienced at t-shirt selling. Yeah. So bear with me, and I think everybody's having a good experience so far. Well, I chose a pretty decent quality shirt that I've gotten before, and I had screen printed before, and I like it a lot. So hopefully everybody else feels the same way. And thanks for indulging me in this point in time. I think that's everything I have to say in this midweek show. How about you?
Let's go win.
We should play that Rocky part right there where she says to win. Win. Bum, 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 right? Now's the time we get hyped. Do we even need a speech for this game? Because I don't feel like anybody's scared about it. So it's not really, I don't know. Maybe we'll do it. Maybe I'll link to something on game day. What day of the week do you get most excited?
Saturday morning.
Saturday morning?
Like I try to be all reserved throughout the whole week and say, yeah, you know, we might not win this, but Saturday morning it's like, oh yeah. 78-0.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like it's right about like game time, I'm like, we're gonna crush this team. 157-0.
We want Bama.
Yeah. So good stuff. Turns out I like North Texas football. I like to watch it. It's real fun. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Mean Green Nation podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and leave a review. I don't think we have any reviews on Mean Green Nation, the podcast there on iTunes. Leave a review. Tell us how amazing we are. If you have anything to say to us, you can email us. You can tweet at us. You can tell the difference in generations because older folks will email. Younger people will tweet or DM, and that's just the way it is. I think I'm right on the line where I do both, obviously, because I'm getting the DMs. But yeah, we appreciate any of the feedback, even the ones where you're like, hey, that was a good episode. We really appreciate that. And I pass it along to Aldo. Even the ones where they're like, that guy's terrible. I'm like, you're telling me, man.
And I write up nasty letters. And
yeah, he does. He does. And
drama.
I have to tackle him, say, don't send it. No, I mean, hey, we appreciate all of it. It's fun and it helps us improve. People have criticized my podcast before and I have improved. I was like, you know, I'll take that feedback and I'll learn from it. Some film study. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.